The sermon this morning is based on mostly on two verses from that reading from Romans chapter 12, actually, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I wrote in the August newsletter, and also I think the last two Sunday bulletins, there was a summit, meetings of congregations hosted by our district. It was at St. Paul Napoleon yesterday, and there'll be three more of those going on, but many of our LCMS congregations gathered there. And the purpose of the summit is to help the people from each congregation think about where their congregation's what their situation is, and thinking about ideas for their congregation to move ahead wherever they're at. And I'll write more about this. But something happened, a suggestion, and something among the four or five of us from Zion happened that it just sticks out in my mind, and you four will remember this. Towards the beginning, it was a six-hour day, and towards the beginning of this presentation, and there was 15 congregations represented, sometimes just by one or two, or sometimes by up to five like we had. And the presenter, who works with a Lutheran nonprofit helping congregations think about their future and where they're at, he introduced it, how willing is your congregation to go ahead and maybe adopt some changes or do something different if that's what you think needs to be done? And then he proposed this test. He says, tomorrow when you have church, cancel church. Do you remember this? He said, cancel church. And who else was there? See, and Diane. Where's Diane? I don't see her. Okay. Cancel church and reschedule it for 12 midnight. Oh, there you are, Dan. And it's like, cancel church and everybody comes, empty church, come back at midnight for special prayer service. And we everybody in the crowd there is like, what? What? But his point was, how willing would you do that? And I'm looking at Diane and Jeff and Linda and Dan. It was the four of us plus me, five of us. And I'm going to reveal what we all said. So I was looking at Diane. I was thinking, And Diane said, well, I would go. And Jeff said, I'll go too. And Linda said, I'll go. And Dan, I don't remember what you said, but if your wife is going to show up, I think you're going to show up. And we talked about it, we joked. It was funny. Because we said, I said, I think we could pull that off at Zion. And the whole purpose of sharing that little moment with you is that we as Christians, we want to do what God's will is. And we try to discern that in our lives. And sometimes it takes a surprising turn. And I know many of you pretty well. And if we all decided, hey, we need to have a prayer meeting at 12, or maybe we'd make it a little earlier for those that it was too late for, but change the schedule to do something special, we'd say, yeah, let's do it. And I can imagine how that might work among us. because I know we're Christians here and we want to do God's will. And we know we have trouble sometimes and difficulties, but we want to do God's will. That is what Paul is talking about here in this text. Not necessarily having your service at 12. But what is God's will? How do we think about this? Now, it's interesting. I depended quite a bit, as I do, upon our LCMS commentaries and good scholars. And the one for Romans, Mittendorf, Dr. Mittendorf, he brought in this little quote from the Formula of Concord exactly about this topic. The Formula of Concord is a Lutheran confession by which this church and our pastors all commit as a good understanding of God's word, the correct understanding of God's word. This little quote from the Book of Concord says, after the Holy Spirit has performed and accomplished this, that is conversion, after we're converted, and the will of man has been changed and renewed solely by God's power and activity, so God converts us by his power, man's new will becomes an instrument and means of God, the Holy Spirit. So that man not only lays hold on grace, but also cooperates with the Holy Spirit in the works that follow. Thus, Scripture teaches that God converts us. God gives his grace into our lives and makes us Christian through his word, through holy baptism. Once we are Christians, then God works in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit to help guide us and make decisions to be his Christian people, the life of sanctification. And we talk about that in our Lutheran confessions, and I just put that little quote in there. Now, going into the outline there, you have point number one, a big blank. And you've heard me say it before, and you've heard me say it in Bible class, from the pulpit in Bible class, whenever you have in the text a therefore, a but, or whereas, a word like that, it means watch out, there's now a conclusion, there's a new point coming up. And in our text, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore. Now, what is that therefore about? That therefore actually looks forward past what he has taught them all about earlier in the book of Romans, about the mercies and grace of God that they are given, about the true teaching of justification, that we're saved through faith by grace alone. That's all those earlier chapters of therefore. There is a distinct turning point in the letter now. So therefore, since this is all true, I appeal to you. And an example is in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he's taught earlier in Romans, now he's bringing to a head, and he wants to teach them something else, continuing. And I have a little note there. Through faith in Christ, we're justified, forgiven, have peace and eternal life with God. All this has been made very clear earlier in Romans. Therefore, how does our life with God continue? And that's our versus and ongoing. Well, first of all, it's built on the mercies of God. God's mercy is always our foundation. God's grace is always our foundation in our Christian lives. It's because of him we are daughters and sons of God. It's because of what Christ has done for us. It's because he has converted us. Because of everything he has done for us, thus we have life in God. And then he says, so now that this is true, he says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, this living sacrifice idea involves not our body only, but our mind and our heart, right? Our soul, our very thinking, it all belongs to God. So you have been given life in God. You have the Holy Spirit. So now your whole body, everything that you are, is a sacrifice to God. And he uses three words there. He says, a living one, a holy one, and acceptable, in this translation, acceptable. Living is the whole thing. It's not dead, but everything that I'm doing. And holy means to be separate, and you can actually dedicated to God. Your life is dedicated to God. Your living sacrifice every day of our life is dedicated to God for Him. And it also has a sense of pleasing to God. As we live lives that are holy and acceptable to God, it is pleasing to Him. It pleases Him. This scripture says this. And this is also, he talks about this as our living worship, or our spiritual worship. Now, Paul is, the word there in worship is very interesting because it's liturgia, which is the liturgy, and it's using the words of the Old Testament sacrifices. What they did at the temple. This is your spiritual worship. This is your temple worship, is to live like this. To have your lives like this is your worship. And I have a note there. If we gather here like this and worship God, but we do not have our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, then our gathered worship isn't really true. It doesn't live up. It's not only this, but it's every single day. And Paul says that clearly here, which you know as Christians. But he says, okay, this is your spiritual worship, is that your bodies would be a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, pleasing to God. Now, in verse 2 then, he says, okay, you know this. He gives us teaching. And then it's interesting, and this is really the verse that caught my attention when I was thinking about the sermon for this week. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There is a battle within us between, now that we have the Holy Spirit, to stay with God or be tempted to go the way of sin in the world. That is a battle that goes on in us, and Paul talks about this in Romans 7. And if we notice those two words there, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by God. They're both passive. The world is on the outside pressing on us. God is bringing His power from the outside into us to transform us. So the battle is, he says, do not be conformed back to the way of the world, but be transformed by God renewing your mind. See, as we're given our lives, what do we do daily? Do we let the world come in and change us back to what it is? Or do we have God say, be transformed, be renewed, here is my word, understand what I am about, live this way? And do we allow Him to transform? Because as converted people, as Christians, God gives us the power to say yes or no. Once we are Christians, we can say yes or no to this, and yes or no to this, and yes or no to this, and yes or no, I'll come to worship at 12 o'clock midnight. Or whatever you decide to do. Whatever is. But is it of the world trying to get back into us, or is it from God trying to draw us to continue to live as His sons and daughters? That's the battle that's going on. And this, again, is not conversion. We do not say yes or no at conversion. He converts us. But once we are Christians, then He gives us His word and His teaching and draws us forward. But the battle is also with the world that tries to draw us back out. It is not too much different than the snake coming to Eve and saying, did God really say you should eat this fruit? It's good. She could have said, Adam could have said, no. But they did not. We are given the Holy Spirit in which we can say to the world, no, I will stay with God. No, I have to figure this out. I'm not sure. No, wait. Here in Paul, in verse 2, he says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern. And that's an interesting translation, but the idea is both, we are able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, both to test and discern what is the will of God. We are able to both test and discern. Paul says that. Now, as we go through our lives daily, you'll see we have to test and discern. What is the will of God? Should I get this car now? What is the will of God? Should I test and discern? Should I buy this property? Should I marry this person? Test and discern. Should I take this job? Test and discern. Will that job obviously take me away from the will of God and cause me to sin or be a bad witness? Then that job is not right. Test and discern. And we can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we know if we make a mistake and we're tempted and we do wrong, we can always go back to Christ on the cross and be forgiven. But God wants us to test and discern all things. And he says there, test and discern that what is the will of God. And then he says three things again, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, good is test and discern what is good aligns with God's law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You can think of the Ten Commandments. You can think of other forms of commands. How do we live as God's people? It should, what we test and discern, it should align with that. And again, what is acceptable to God, just things that please God. And we can look throughout all of Scriptures for things that please God. And that last one, imperfect, this is interesting to me. You see, what did Jesus say on the cross? What is our common English phrase that Jesus said on the cross? He says, it is finished, right? It is completed. And I've talked about that. It's completely done. It's all done. That's the same root word that's used here. It's complete. It's perfect. It's completed to the end. And as I look at that, and I say, look at what, as the Holy Spirit leads us to test and to discern things, and not only to test and discern it for today and tomorrow, but that we finish it and live then that till the end of our days. Jesus has completed our salvation, and he calls us to complete our days as his people. To the last dying breath of this life, we stay with him, testing and discerning his will, pleasing God. That may take twists and turns in our own lives, in the life of the congregation and the life of a family, when you test and discern certain things, because you figure out and you understand by God's power, this decision, this way of life, this job, this place is pleasing to God, or maybe it's not pleasing to God, and we need to make a change, and we need to shift out of that and go into this. And you can maybe think of times in your life when you've had to do that. I have come to realize that this is done or this is not healthy and pull and do something else. Test and discern what is pleasing and acceptable and perfect before God. And he calls us to do that in our lives, in our families' lives, in congregations' lives. So I really am tempted to do that, just cancel service, have it 12 o'clock, and see who shows up, but I won't do it. Or at least in consultation of a couple other people so you can blame them too. But think of this. The Holy Spirit is in us, and God wants us to test and discern what is good, what is pleasing, what is acceptable, and to stay in that. Always knowing that we're built on the mercies of God. By grace we are saved. Our identity is in Christ. And then as our identity is in Christ, what does the Holy Spirit living in us call us to do and call us to act? Now, if you need some more help with what the Holy Spirit, what is he calling us to do, read almost the rest of Romans, and that's all he talks about. What our lives should look like, and I have right down there notes. So read from Romans 12, verse 3, all the way to 15, verse 13, up to his goodbye section. It's all about what a Christian life looks like, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you have called us to be your people. And we ask you to reassure us that despite our sins, despite our weaknesses and shortcomings, you call us holy and forgiven for the sake of Jesus. And thus, as your sons and daughters, lead us each day into your will to test and discern different decisions, different situations, to know what is good, to know what is pleasing to you, so that we may truly love and obey you and love our neighbor as ourselves. All these things we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing, let's see, what hymn is it? We sing the hymn, "Sing Praise to the God of Israel," 936.